BBC.
Radio 1.
BBC Radio 1 free downloads.
It's 1 o'clock. I'm Nicola, I'm 22 and I'm from Maidstone. You might not know this, but I told off the wombat for being too noisy. Anyway, now it's time for my favourite show on the radio. Scott Mills!
Scott Mills.
BBC Radio 1.
Hello, it's Scott, and today's free download is a meaty one. Beware. You will hear Dynamo doing tricks and talking. More 24 years at the tap end. My mate Chris's autobiography. We play Real or No Real. Becky tries to lie to us, not very convincingly. And also, find out why our listener Nicola went off at the Wombat when on holiday in her hotel. It's all coming up.
Scott Mills.
BBC Radio 1.
Here is Dynamo. Hello.
Hello.
Good to see you.
How are you doing?
I'm really good, thank you. Now, the last time you came in to see us is still the thing that people talk to me about the most. Because either they see the TV show, because it's repeated quite a lot, or they've seen your DVD. Now, let's just run through. If you didn't see this or hear this last time, what happened? So you gave us like a safety deposit box to look after for a few days.
Yes.
It was red from what I remember. And it didn't leave our office and it was locked. And then you came in with there's a load of newspapers, wasn't it?
Yeah, you brought a lot of newspapers in from that day.
Yeah.
And you picked a newspaper at random. You picked a page at random. And then you opened the red box and inside was a prediction that I'd left you, which was my kind of caricature picture.
It was the drawing of that page, of that morning's paper.
Yeah.
So the paper was produced that day. We'd had the box for 3 or 4 days, so...
So I predicted the news.
You predicted the news. It was the same page that I picked. Now, they do repeat it a lot, like I said, and loads of people have got the DVD Dynamo. Every day, someone comes up to me and there's someone new that's seen it.
I always see you getting lots of tweets, like,
loads.
My name and your name, talking about it, asking.
Yeah, because I've got that face on of, like, huh? And because they ask me this all the time, can you just tell us how you did it?
Unfortunately not.
Damn it, I thought we had him there.
I was just lucky, I guess, you know?
Yeah, yeah, well, right, whatever. See, me and Fern Cotton have discussed this for quite a long time. We don't think it's tricks, we think you are actually magic.
I'm Dynamo.
You are Dynamo. Are you magic? Chris thinks you are.
I'm almost certain that you are just magic.
Because,
hello,
Chris.
Yeah, hello, mate.
How you doing, you all right?
Good, yeah.
Because, right, okay, let's say on the TV show, right, putting someone's phone in a bottle, that can't be done.
You physically can't do that. There's some stuff where I go, well, maybe this could happen if they could do that, and that's skills. There's the stuff that you do, though, which you can't physically do. Like, that doesn't...
It doesn't compute with him.
And that's weird, you know?
I'm going to take that as a compliment.
No, it is good, but it's just strange. Now, Becky's got a trick for you in a bit.
Becky's keeping really quiet over there.
She is.
Have I got a trick?
Yeah.
I
haven't prepared for my trick.
Oh, I was told that you had. You've been preparing for days.
It was the one that you were telling me about.
Yeah, I know. It requires preparation, though.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I should have been warned.
I like this.
The last time I came...
When do you want me to do it?
Not yet.
Okay, I'll prepare and then just do it when you come.
Yeah, okay. The last time I came, Fern showed me some magic, you know.
Yeah, I know.
Now Becky's going to show me. It's good. My job's getting easier.
I just get
to watch the magic now. It's awesome.
So, I mean, are you quite proud that you've made magic really cool? Because obviously lots of kids watch you and they love what you do and they love magic now because they kind of want to be you and they love what you do.
Yeah, I think for me, you know, being able to inspire other people is great because when I was growing up, I didn't really have the role models around that I would have liked to have had. So to be able to kind of, you know, I guess be that person for future generations, that's an amazing thing.
Yeah.
And you know, end of the day, my job is performing magic, putting smiles on people's faces. You know, it's amazing.
And also this face.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Well, that, you know, that was one of the highlights of my career, seeing your face dumbfounded like that.
It wasn't the best look, but yeah, it was genuine. And also, I was having this massive conversation with the taxi driver the other day, and it was about half an hour, and I was like, I honestly don't know who he did it. I would tell you, but I don't know.
Is it doing your head in now?
Yes, it's been doing my head in since you came in. Since you slanked off that time, you're like, right, bye. I'll leave you with that, bye. Now, it was your granddad that got you into magic, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And then you became kind of obsessed with it.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the feeling that you get when you see something that's amazing that makes it do your head in and you want to, you know, you get obsessed with it. Well, that's the same thing I get, you know, I get a buzz from the reaction. And when I meet people, you can never predict how they're going to react. Everyone's different and that's the joy of it, you know. So no day is the same for me and it's just, you know, I'm going to continue to do it forever because I love it.
When you started first doing your shows, how old were you when you did, like, magic, even if it was just to your family?
I think my first ever show was in Miss Wilcox's class in year six. She was an English teacher, and every time she spoke, she put things in inverted commas, and she used to make her two fingers like inverted commas. And she was the one teacher at my school that kind of wanted to see me do magic. All the other teachers told me to get on with my schoolwork.
Yeah.
So that was, I think year six.
She was quite encouraging.
Very encouraging, yeah.
Yeah. And what did you do? What trick did you do?
I don't know. It was probably rubbish, to be honest.
At least she gave you a bit of time to do it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I remember you, I think, from years ago. I seem to remember being in this place in London. I think it was a launch of, like, a Sugar Babes album.
Oh, yes. The Sugar Babes event at the supper club.
Years ago. Was it you coming around the tables doing tricks?
Yeah, yeah.
And that's before you were on TV or anything, wasn't it?
Yes.
Yeah.
And I remember someone came up to me and they goes, "Oh, go do magic for Scott Mills, but he's really cynical. He's really cynical, so be careful." So I came over to you and I was a bit like, you know, I was slightly nervous. I don't really get nervous, but, you know, I thought, oh, you know.
That was great. And to get where you are now, obviously you've worked so hard, you've been completely determined because, I mean, nobody wanted to give you a TV show, did they?
We got so many knockbacks, so many people telling me, you know, that, you know, you're not right for TV, you know, maybe YouTube videos are good, but it's just not really going to work on a, you know, full-length show. Obviously, you know, the Northern accent, you know, was a hindrance, I think, you know. But, you know, obviously Coronation Street's a success, so I reckon, you know, people can listen to them guys, they can listen to me.
I mean, they put a Northern on the Radio 1 breakfast show now.
You should go on Coronation Street, that would be a great episode. Yeah.
They can hit me up on Twitter, we'll do a cameo.
Yeah,
go and really freak out Deirdre. I'd like that. And also, I mean, you've managed to kind of get your way into some really cool situations, which must have taken total determination. I know you've got this book coming out. And was the first person that kind of changed everything for you, like a really famous person, was that Snoop Dogg?
That was, for me, a career highlight. But I think, you know, well, the fact that when I told my mum that Snoop Dogg just did a freestyle rap about me and the magic, she didn't know who I was talking about. So it probably wasn't so much career changing for her.
Yeah.
But for me, it was like, wow, this is like one of my favourite rappers of all time.
But how did that occur?
I was at his concert in Wembley and I managed to blag my way backstage and I was hanging with Roll Deep, actually, back then.
Yeah.
I knew some of the guys from Roll Deep.
How long ago was this?
2005.
Okay.
So they were one of the support acts. And then also there was a crew called MVP, and they had like a top five hit back in the day.
Mm-hmm.
And they kind of got invited to go into Snoop's dressing room. You know, all the support acts got to go back. And they kind of snuck me in with them. And then they, you know, they were getting introduced to him. And then he goes, "Oh, this is our friend Dynamo. Dynamo, show him something."
You weren't supposed to be there?
No. And then I performed something for him. But then he goes to me, I goes, "Actually, can I film this?" And he goes, pulls his camera out of his bag, he goes, "I'm filming you." So I'm like, "All right, cool." So we filmed like loads of magic, and that was on my first ever DVD that I made myself back in 2005.
Yeah.
And then after, I says, "Oh, would you mind just doing like a little shout out for my website, you know, like a quick plug?" And he turned to his laptop, found the beat, put it on full volume, and for 3.5 minutes just did a freestyle rap about what he'd just seen.
And obviously that took off massively.
I ended up getting that on the DVD. I managed to get backstage with Coldplay, with Ian Brown, you know, The Streets. This was the DVD that I made for less than £1,000. Yeah. And then off that, you know...
Because you made friends with Chris Martin's mum?
Yes. Yeah, I met Chris Martin's mum and she introduced me to Chris. And Chris was a bit reluctant at first. He's like, "Oh, mum, leave me alone. You know, I've just come off stage, you know." And then, you know, eventually he watched the magic and then he was hooked. And then he introduced me to the whole band and we filmed it all. And they let me use it on my DVD and on my, you know, on my TV show.
So it's just working really hard to get in there, those people. And that was on your first DVD, and that's when people really started to notice you.
Yeah, pretty much. You know, I mean, I used to put videos on YouTube.
Yeah.
And, you know, the social networks really helped me out. You know, they allowed me to build a fan base organically.
Are you friends with Snoop Dogg now?
Yeah. Whenever he comes to the country, you know, he gives me an invite to his shows if I'm going to the States. You know, I was on his TV show, Fatherhood. He sent me, the last time he came over, he sent me a tweet video invite to his show, which that's quite mad, isn't it?
It's quite mad that you weren't even supposed to be in that dressing room that day, and if you hadn't have been, then that wouldn't have happened and maybe none of this would have happened.
I know, I wouldn't be here.
Well, how were you randomly speaking to Chris Martin's mum? Were you backstage at a Coldplay gig as well?
Yeah, at the...
Did you manage to blag your way in there?
At Coco in Camden, yeah.
It's a load of blagging, I love it. It's so good.
It's a northern charm, isn't it?
Yeah, I like it. Are you ready for your trick now, Becky?
Yes, but it's a bit last minute, okay?
She's been busy in the corner with bits of paper.
Right. Like, I think it's very visual as well, this trick, okay. I'm afraid.
Right, I hope you're watching this on the Radio 1 website now.
Right.
If you go to bbc.co.uk/Radio 1, what's the aim here? Is it to fool
Dynamo, okay, and for him to not know how it's done?
Okay, good.
I spent years trying to guess this, okay? For the sake of people listening at home, I've got two bits of paper on both forefingers. Ready?
Okay, you can see this
now.
Have
you seen this one before? Do you know what's coming?
I have not got a clue what's
coming. Okay, this is original. This is good.
Go to the website and you can see a close-up of Becky's fingers. She's about to fool Dynamo and amaze him.
I'm saying not too close, yeah?
Have you seen this, Scott?
No.
Okay.
First for me.
Two little birds sitting on a wall, one named Peter, one named Paul. Fly away, Peter. Oh, it's not gone. Hang on. Fly away, Peter. Fly away, Paul. It's not gone. Hang on. Okay, ready? Come back, Peter. Come back, Paul.
Hey.
It's back on my fingers.
And is that Dynamo's shocked face there?
it's not quite the Scott Mills shocked face.
It's not.
Do you know how I did it?
Can you pretend?
I don't want to give it away on the air. Do you want
to
give it away?
I would like you
to.
You
want to know? Yeah. You want to know? Well, they're different fingers.
Up.
Oh, good.
But apart from that, it was really good.
Sorry, I feel like I should...
I like it that you revealed the magic. More from Dynamo a bit later on this free download, but now this.
I've boshed banter in Prague, I've dressed up as a Smurf, I've swapped lives with a German, bought strip pens in France, I've covered teachers in sunscreen, nearly drowned in some foam, I had a naked massage, me and my mates had a laugh, I did
24 years at the top end.
The tap end.
It's much better, isn't it?
See, you have been binned from the 24 years bit, though.
That's fine by me. It makes it much more Dido.
Version 2 is the one that we're going to play from now on.
Mm.
So here we are, then. The second in Season 2 of 24 Years at the Tap End. A lot of people on Twitter saying they can't get that theme tune out of their head now. Stuck.
It's good. I'd like to think that this is all becoming a bit like Neighbours. It's at that time slot. It's got a recognisable theme tune now. It's all becoming a bit more serious.
What?
Won't be long before you're on Channel 5 then.
That's something to look forward to.
Yeah.
I'd like to take you to my 25th year at the Tap End if you're keen.
Oh, is this allowed?
Oh, so this is not that long ago.
Well, it's been a while since the other series of Tap End. A lot of stuff's happened, so some of the stories are going to be about stuff that's happened since then.
Oh, I'm so keen for that.
This is good, because I thought we were only allowed to have 24 years at the Tap End, like the first 24 years, but if you're going to do, like, in the last year, this is good.
Well, I suppose this is allowed. I did 24 years at the Tap End, but I suppose I'm just going to say, for the purposes of this, I'm going to take you to my 25th year at the Tap End, even though technically I haven't been at the Tap End this year. I just do showers, you know what I mean, to save confusion.
If you don't know what this means, it's because Chris only realised 24 years into his life that you could sit the other way round in the bath. Yes. You didn't have to sit at the Tap End. Much more comfortable the other way round.
And now he's got a hot tub.
Yeah. With all the monies.
Yeah. Anyway, you keen?
I'm keen.
Keen.
Can't wait for this one.
I'm ready.
Rodlow.
And I'm ready.
Sorry.
Scott's show was all going well at the new time. We had been working hard on it, and it had got to the stage where I decided to use up a bit of my holiday. My original thinking was to go away, ideally somewhere hot and by the sea. But like most things, I left organising to the last minute, so I decided to do a week of activities closer to home. I didn't want to just spend the week in bed, so I set about making a plan to do some interesting stuff. Take a look around an art gallery, maybe do a skydive, learn how to fish, and try every burger I've never eaten on the Mackie D's menu. On paper, it looked set to be an incredible week.
If you hadn't have made these plans, would you have just stayed in bed all week?
I think so. I think that and playing FIFA, that kind of thing would have been the obvious week off for me. I had found a man on the internet who was willing to meet me at short notice.
Sorry, which activity is this for?
He was a fishing instructor. And judging by the pictures on his website, he was very much the real deal. There were various...
How do you know? There's loads of men on the internet with big rods.
Well, yeah, but this guy, he had everything. He had the beard, he had... You know that you can... I wanted a real genuine Ray Mears-type character to teach me to fish. I didn't want some young city boy or something who does it as a hobby.
If he's dressed up like a fisherman, he's a fisherman. What about those women on the internet that dress up like nurses? Would you trust them if you had a medical emergency?
No, but that's very different, isn't it?
Is
it? You can date them now, can't you? There's a site for that.
There is, yes. I find that service odd because the advert says it's for men and women in uniform and those who just fancy people in uniform.
Yes.
So if you don't even have to have a uniform to be part of it, it's hardly...
It's just a dating site?
For anyone.
And on that site, do they have fishermen as one of the uniforms?
I don't... Does that count as a uniform? I don't know.
Is that where you found him?
No, I didn't find... No, I did not.
Sorry,
that
I meant
was
to
not
click.
An advert on that site.
Fireman.
No. There were various pics of him in all the gear, holding up some impressively sized trout. We had been exchanging emails, and the day had come to meet him. He instructed me to meet him in a car park near Legoland early in the morning at around 6 a.m. And as I sat in my car, I wasn't sure what the sign was going to be so that we knew each other were there. It was a similar feeling to when you're on a first date, but without any intentions.
Hang on a second, this is this year, yeah?
Yeah.
Did either of you have phones?
Yes, we did, but it's that awkward thing that there was going to be a lot of cars coming in. I couldn't just call every time I saw a car, could I?
And when you go on first dates, do you often meet them in a car park near Legoland?
No, good point. On a technicality, it wasn't like any first date.
And you've seen a picture of him on the internet?
And I didn't have any ulterior motives.
Unless he's one of those that has a different profile picture to when he turns up.
I like it that you've admitted to having ulterior motives on first date.
No, but you know what I mean. Like, for all you go on a first date, you... Like, for all you're doing a pleasant activity or meeting up for food, in the back of your head, it is a date and you are hoping it will go somewhere, right? That's an ulterior motive. You're not genuinely there for the food.
I love this as a real insight into how your mind works. I really like it.
There were three cars in the car park, and whilst I was sitting there, a couple more came in. Every time I tried to peer through the windscreen to see if I could recognise the fisherman. However, it was quite dark and the headlights obscured my vision. I wasn't sure how to play this one and was about to leave the car to go have a look around when a car pulled in and parked up. No one left the car. I thought that maybe they were waiting for a sign. He was probably thinking the same with me and a standoff had begun. I decided to take the initiative and flash my lights four or five times.
In a car park near Legoland?
It seemed to work. A man opened the door, reached into the back seat and emerged. With his tackle and rod in hand, he stared at me as he walked towards and then passed my car. He looked confused. It quickly became apparent that he wasn't my fishing instructor. I'd been flashing at a stranger. Luckily, at that point, a man knocked on my car window. It was Alan, the man I'd been waiting for. He was a good bloke, a proper expert, and the fishing lesson was brilliant. It was a three-hour chill, learning the basics of fishing. Apart from the earlier car park incident, it had been a strong morning on my first day off.
What did you and Alan talk about?
It's very difficult to think that you're going to spend 3 hours with a total stranger and get on, but I did genuinely get on with him. I looked up to him. He was everything that I wanted to be. He had great natural sort of survival skills. You know, he knew about fishing. He looked like the kind of person who could handle himself in the wild.
Is that what you want to be?
And where were you fishing?
It was at a lake near Legoland.
Or, as we have now referred to it, the wild.
There was a really good cafe there, I remember as well. I had like a really good bacon sandwich in there after. I mean, really good. It's rare when a bacon sandwich can really like... You know, it's a sort of standard food, but that was...
Especially if you've been in the wild for a few hours, that's quite...
That was something else, that was.
After you've braved the elements for that long.
For that afternoon's activity, I decided to do a tour of the War Cabinet Rooms in London. These are the actual rooms a large part of World War II was coordinated from. I've always been into my history, and this was an activity for me that ticked all the boxes. It was basically like going to a museum, and the last time I had done that was when I was at school. It felt weird not having a teacher around me to tell me off, or having the freedom to eat whatever I wanted rather than being forced into a packed lunch situation. The tour of the cabinet rooms was great. It was incredible to be in a place that only 70 years ago was one of the most secret and important parts of the war effort. The corridors and rooms were quite small, and there was a musty old smell that I guess you could expect from such an old building. There was quite a lot of people on the tour, and everyone walked around at roughly the same speed to avoid congestion and blockages in the tight corridors. I was behind a party of German tourists, and as I entered a room called the Maps Room, I was told that this was one of the most important rooms in the war effort, and was enjoying a talk when the tour guide stuttered slightly and sort of tensed his nose. I couldn't work out what was wrong.
How do you do that?
I don't know. What is a tense nose?
I couldn't work out how to write this in the book. It was...
Do the face.
He sort of sniffed. It was like...
What, like slightly disapproving look?
Yeah. Like he just... Like something had just entered his nose in a sort of unpleasant way.
Don't want that in the map rooms, do you?
I couldn't work out what was wrong with him until it hit me. Someone had farted. It was a nasty one, and it was clear to me that it had been produced by one of the German tourists. It was uncomfortable for everyone involved, but it did make me think. Who would have thought 70 years later there would be Germans farting in the Maps Room?
I wonder if Churchill, all those years ago, was, you know, in there organising, fighting them on the beaches... Mm. And I doubt it crossed his mind that in 70 years, a German would be in there letting one go.
No, and that's what I thought as well. It sort of made me smile a little bit. It was a strange moment. And despite the smell, made me smile. I wasn't offended. I just found it a bit funny.
How did you know it was one of the Germans?
I think it was.
What did it smell of?
Because you can always tell who it is, because everyone
can
in that
you?
Room... Yeah, because
well,
everyone...
You can tell someone's nationality by how their farts
Well, no, because I was giggling a little bit, right? But you know who it was because they were really straight-laced. They kept a straight face throughout. And I'm talking, this was a bad one. And no, none of them were, like, laughing. It was, like, a very serious thing for them. And bless the tour guide, he carried on. It had been a great day off, though. A mixture of a chill and an education. I had learnt the basics of fishing... and learned a lot about Winston Churchill. It had been a great start to my week off, which would later see me get up to loads of stuff. It was a week of trying new things. I did bail on the skydive, though. I bottled it, something to this day I still regret.
Oh, let's get you to do a skydive.
Now, you've done this before, haven't you?
Yes, you can do one this weekend.
No, have you done one?
I bottled it.
Yeah, no, I've done one.
But you did it on the show. I'm sure I remember listening to this.
You should do it. Come and do it this weekend.
Would you do it again?
Yes, I would, actually.
You see, I was up for booking
it. I wouldn't do it this weekend when you were doing it, because I'd obviously be on the ground filming you coming down to see me, but I would do it again, yeah.
coming down to see me?
Yeah, you know, like when you...
It's not a really romantic thing, Becky.
When you kind of float down. You know the bit where you first jump out and you go really fast, and then by the end you're like... Hi, make her like a really slow kind of la-di-da.
It is quite
entrance.
Slow at the end, yeah.
And you're kind of sat in a really awkward, like, baby in a nappy position. Do you know what I mean? Like, you've got your legs kind of wide out and you can't speed it up or anything. And you don't know if you're going to go in the bush or not.
I'm not going to lie, I'm a bit scared of it. And that's why I bailed. But I would definitely think about doing it. Did you enjoy that?
I loved that.
You're actually asking us, how was that for you?
Just a bit of feedback.
Okay. Yeah, it was good.
I liked it.
Good.
Let's see what the listeners are saying. More on Monday at 1:45.
I've boshed banter in Prague.
Thanks, Chris.
I've dressed up as a Smurf. I've swapped lives with a German. Bought strip pens in France. I've covered teachers in sunscreen. Nearly drowned in some foam. I had a naked massage. Me and my mates had a laugh. I did.
24 years at the top end.
At the tap end.
The Scott Mills Daily.
So today's show introducer...
You might not know this, but I told off the wombats for being too noisy.
Nicola?
Yeah?
What happened with the wombats, please?
So we were on holiday in Ibiza, me and my friend, and we'd come home from a night out. This was our third day in, and I had had no sleep. So we all planned, we said, right, we're going to go to sleep. We're going to, you know, try and wake up nice and fresh for another day of partying. Just got to sleep, and then I could hear quite a bit of a leery room. So got up out on my balcony and realised it was the wombats.
How did you know it was the wombats?
Well, because they'd been playing at the hotel. I got onto my balcony and asked them nicely just to keep it down, which they didn't.
So, and what were they doing? Was there, like, chicken noises and stuff?
They were just being really, really loud.
I'm imagining screaming. It's a bit like The Hangover, you know?
Like The Hangover Part 3, but with the wombats.
And was Marv there?
Murph was there, yeah. The whole band were there and some other people. It was all getting a bit leery, and so I basically gave them a piece of my mind to the amusement of my friends who were wetting themselves.
Can we just, can we reenact this, please?
Okay.
Right, here's what happened. Would you like to play the part of the wombats here?
I'll be a wombat, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do your Liverpool accent.
I'm not speaking, I'm just trashing things.
How do you do... Oh, yeah. Trashing the room.
Wait there.
Oh, yeah. Trashing the room. Have that. I'm a wombat. Yeah.
So where did this all start? On the balcony?
It started on the balcony.
Oh, I'm a wombat and I'm having a really good time.
I'm a wombat and moving to New York.
Okay, now what happens? What do you say?
Please, please, please shut up so I can get some well-needed rest. Oh, I don't know. I can't do it. It's really hard because you're putting me on the spot.
You can't do angry on demand.
No, I can't. I'm not a very good actor.
And what did they say back to that?
They stood there with their white blazers on and their Ray-Bans and just stood there just staring at me, doing nothing else. But I haven't mentioned the most important part in all of this. Yeah. Whilst I'm shouting at them, I had like like the low vest tops, like they're low on the sides.
Yeah.
Well, because I'd been asleep, so I didn't have a bra on. I was furiously throwing my hands at them whilst shouting obscenities. And lo and behold, the wombat's got a nice view of my left boob.
So your left boob fell out while you were telling them off?
Yeah.
It doesn't go down particularly well, does it, when you're trying to have a go at someone and you accidentally flash them?
No, so I obviously thought I was doing a really good job at being, like, really angry and, like, intimidating, but the whole time, that was obviously why they were just staring at me and probably, like, wetting themselves that I was earning abuse whilst my boob was out the whole time.
Hey, Chris, do your wombat's impression.
Oh, look, there's a boob.
It's one of your better ones.
Thank you.
So you're shouting at them, they're staring at you with Ray-Bans on and your boob falls out.
Yeah.
So then what happened?
I then sort of thought, right, I'm not having this. I was more embarrassed at the fact that my boob had been out. But then I thought, right, I'm not going to let this go. So I ran after them, carried on hurling abuse.
Where were you following them?
I thought, right, okay, where are they going to be going? So I sort of ran to where I could see them going to and shot down there in my flip-flops and my pyjamas. Obviously holding my boobs so we didn't have another spillage. and then I carried on sort of shouting at them just before they were about to leave. And, in the end, Murph came back in and sort of apologised and was, like, sincerely sorry.
Oh.
And sorted me out with some VIP tickets.
Do your Marvin impression.
I'm really sorry. It was nice to see your boob. Have a VIP pass.
Did they sort you out with the gig then?
Yeah, I went to Lovebox and I went to V Festival with my friends. So after all that, they turned out to be quite nice.
Courtesy of the wombats?
Courtesy of the wombats, yeah.
Because you shouted at them?
No, because she showed her boobs at them.
No, it wasn't that.
No, I think they obviously just wanted to redeem themselves, but they were actually quite nice.
They're nice lads.
They're really nice lads, yeah. I have a lot of time for them, obviously, now that they've done that for me, so...
But when they're in a hotel room... Oh, wow. Nothing's safe. Anyway, good to speak to you. Thank you so much for introducing the show, Nicola.
That's okay. It was lovely to chat with you.
Love you, bye.
Love you, bye.
The Scott Mills Daily.
BBC Radio 1.
So did you like Becky's trick?
I loved the attempt, yeah.
A lot of people have been on saying there was one that their nan used to teach.
Yeah, I got it off my granddad.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, back in the day.
See, that's how I got my magic from my grandpa.
Yeah, exactly, same.
My granddad. I just thought it was funny when he's like, oh, it's not gone.
Oh, it's not gone. I don't think you're supposed to kind of say that. Like, just style it out.
Go.
Like, if it's going wrong, don't explain what's going wrong. Am I right, Dynamo? I don't know.
Yeah, I reckon, a bit more practice, you know, could be up there with me. We need the Dynamites on Twitter to give Becky a magic name. You know, I'm Dynamo. What can we call Becky?
God, rubbish.
I dread to think. Like, we were just talking about this off air. What do you do when things go wrong, or do they ever go wrong?
I think for me, because I'm the only one who knows what the outcome of my magic effect is supposed to be, then if I have something where it's slightly not going how I want it to go, I can improvise and turn it into something else, and I'm the only one who knows what was supposed to happen. So to the audience, they're still seeing something amazing. It might not be what I wanted them to see, but it's still...
In your head, you're the only person that really knows what they're supposed to see anyway.
Yeah, yeah.
Right. But how do you do that? You just switch it to something else and they'll never know?
Yeah, I think, you know, over the years, I've performed so much, I've so many, you know, times where things could have gone wrong, but you just learn how to improvise. Mm. Do you know what I mean? Like when a comedian goes on stage and gets heckled, they know, after years and years of practice, what to say in those moments.
Okay. Well, I wonder if Dynamo can impress Becky now with his tricks.
Becky showed me something with her fingers.
Yeah.
So I'll show her something using my little finger. Yeah.
Okay. Right. So if you want to watch this, we'll get a little close up on the Radio 1 website now. Dynamo's about to do live stuff because remember, we think he's actually magic.
So you can see my finger on the webcam. Right,
okay.
Becky,
we're
so
just.
You feel that finger? It's real, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
I was worried it was going to be one of those bendy, double jointy ones. You're not going to pull it out, are you?
Or his finger comes off.
One, two, three.
Oh, God. I can't look. That's disgusting.
Oh, no.
Oh,
I can't cope with that. Can you explain what happened, Becky, quick?
It just went, like, really bendy and loose. And, like, it properly just curved round into us. To be honest, I stopped watching halfway through because I felt a bit sick.
It was like a rubber finger.
like a witchy finger that you just stick on for parties.
I like everyone just recoiled away like, no!
That is weird.
But remember, he's magic.
Yeah.
Anything else?
Let's try something with the followers on Twitter.
Okay.
Yeah? So if you're on there, I want you to tweet the hashtag Dynamites and Radio 1 Dynamo hashtag.
Okay. R1 Dynamo,
and then tweet the name of any playing card. Yeah, and let's get a few of them coming in.
Oh, okay, let's do that.
Do you know how to get Twitter up, Scott?
No, I'm just doing that. Hang on, is it twitter.com? Oh, this is the only time
I've got my computer turned off around here. Do you want me to switch it on?
Right, this is the only time I'm normally on Twitter.
Okay, you can tell this was planned.
I'm always on Twitter. Okay, right, so they'll be coming in now.
Does it work with text?
You can also text 81199 any playing card. Do you just need one?
Yeah, just one, yeah.
Okay.
And then when you've got a few in there, I want you just to choose, give a shout out to that person who sent it in and just name their card out loud.
Okay, say it out loud.
Yep, yeah, I've got a prediction here in this
box.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right, so just waiting for a text now to 81199. If someone from the Radio 1 Twitter wants to actually buzz through and tell me something that someone maybe is saying, then that'd be great.
Awkward, isn't it?
Do you have people to do your Twitter at home as well?
No, but I'm on my Twitter, but R1 Twitter. Okay, I've got it.
Okay, you got one?
I've got one. Hello, Jesse.
Hello, Jesse.
Shall I say it?
Yes.
Ace of Spades.
The Ace of Spades. Now, are you sure you want to use Jesse?
Should I don't know, because it is the first one, so sounds like she was almost ready. Do you know what I mean?
An Ace of Spades is quite a commonly named card.
Is he just trying to get us to change it, though?
I don't know.
Because he knows it's not the Ace
of
Spades in there.
It's totally up to you.
Stick with it.
Shall I?
I reckon we've got him.
Yeah. All right.
Okay?
Yeah.
Do you think we've got him this time?
Yeah, because I reckon part of it is like trying to persuade you to change your mind, because he knows you should keep going until...
All right, should we go with it?
Yeah.
Stick with Jesse.
Jesse, yeah.
Lewis, look, you can see. Lewis really slowly... Really fairly.
Watch this on the website now.
This is our webcam right here. And like I said, you could have chosen anyone. Look at this, I'm going to spread through slowly, look.
Oh, he's spreading the cards. Mm-mm. Oh.
There's one card there, my prediction.
Yes, there's one card the other way around.
Becky, do you want to take that out?
This is going to be humiliating now,
isn't
it?
It's going to be awkward if he's wrong.
Oh. Ace of Spades! Oh. Look at that. I'm really annoyed because I genuinely thought for a second time that we'd got him.
Because it is a popular one, but then he did give us the opportunity to change it.
Yeah.
And we didn't.
Yeah, well. But if we'd changed it, then we'd have always thought he'd got us to change it.
I know!
It's really annoying. It's incredible, but it's so annoying.
You said Jesse. You said go for Jesse.
I said we should rethink Jesse.
Well, you didn't say that. You went go with Jesse. I can play it back if you want. Thanks for coming in today. I know you've got your book. And you've got have you got a new TV show as well?
Working on a new series, yeah.
You're always filming, aren't you?
I know, yeah. My life's kind of become behind the cameras.
Yeah. But there's always a film crew with you. You're like the magic Peter Andre. always a film crew.
He's a handsome chap, I'll take that.
Also, before you go, I want to know, I know it's in the book a little bit, have you or did you hang out with Prince Harry? And tell me it wasn't that time in Vegas.
Oh, no, I wasn't with Prince Harry in Vegas, but I did meet him. He actually saw one of my performances on the Olympic ball.
Did you blag your way backstage at Buckingham Palace or something?
No, I was actually invited to perform at the Olympic ball.
Darling.
And, you know, I did my Matrix kind of levitation thing you've seen me do on the show before. And he came up to me after the show and he was trying to replicate it, but he kind of was falling on the floor.
Was it a bit like Becky's trick?
I think Becky's was a little bit more sophisticated.
I know, though. Before you go, I've got these pens, which are quite magical. And when you turn them upside down, the clothes fall off. I'll give you one of them. And you can
awesome.
Would you like one? Like, and just make you know, maybe sign your books with it.
It's magic.
Yeah. I've got my marker at the ready.
Oh, he's got a Dynamo marker. Check that out. Yeah. Oh, also, one more thing I wanted to ask. Nicole Scherzinger and Lewis Hamilton, did you get them together through magic?
I was present when I think when they first ever met.
Right.
We was all at the EMAs together, but you know, I reckon Lewis handled the magic there.
Okay,
I can't take credit for that.
But you were there. Did you use your powers to maybe convince either party?
If the world wants to believe that, they can do. But you know, only Lewis and Nicole knows what happened.
I think it was you. Dynamo, it's really good to see you again. Thank you so much for coming in, and good
Thanks
luck with
for
everything.
Me.
Come back soon, please.
And yeah, and if anyone's in London today, London Piccadilly with Waterstones, I'm doing a book signing, so come say
with
hello.
With a nudie pen.
With a nudie pen.
One of the nudie pens,
right,
yeah.
Good to see you. Thank you.
Thank you.
BBC Radio 1. The Scott Mills Daily.
This is the best text we've had for a while. This has come in to 81199. They are claiming the winner of Finnish Pop Idol is in the pub down the road from Radio 1 playing darts and want you, Chris, and they've asked for you specifically, to go and meet him because he's got a CD for you.
Do what
I don't know. That's going to be awkward, isn't it? Hello, are you the winner of Finnish Pop Idol? I'm Chris.
And then play darts or what?
Oh, yeah, can do. Have you found out what his name is so we know?
Well, there have been loads of series, so it depends which. There's one called Coop. I hope it's him.
Hello,
I'm
Chris. Are you Coop?
I'm not keen on this because it's just going to be a really awkward moment, isn't it?
Should we just wait for a follow-up text and see which one it is of all of the Finnish Pop Idol winners before you go and grab that CD for us? Because they have asked for you specifically.
Should we not be worried about health and safety with this kind of thing, Becky? Or
No, I think it's fine.
I think that one's fine.
We know where you're going.
Text back. They might not be real.
The Scott Mills Daily.
Okay, it's time for What's Occurring. First one is... Is Becky lying? It's a bit like Would I Lie to You off the telly. So Becky's going to tell us some stories about her life. They will all be on bits of paper, written down. Some of the stories are real, some of them aren't. We'll ask questions about the stories to determine whether they are true or not. The ones that aren't real, this is the first time she would have ever seen the story when she reads the bit of paper that the one that doesn't speak gives her. So she'll just have to blag it as being true. Any you get right as being true or false, give yourself 10 Scott Mills points. Are you ready to do some blagging?
Oh, yes.
Or just tell stories about your life. Here we go.
Oh, what's occurring?
Okay, so some stories on the bits of paper. Hand it over.
I don't want to look at her because...
If we look at her, she'll laugh. Okay, and go. What's the story?
I was on a TV advert when I was 12.
Okay, for what?
Chocolate.
And what type of chocolate?
The ones with nuts in.
And what did you have to do in the advert?
Eat as much as I possibly could in a minute.
What, that?
On an advert?
It wasn't just me, there was loads of us.
What, just
like a class full of kids.
So it was an eating challenge?
Yeah.
The advert?
On a chocolate advert?
Yeah.
For 12-year-olds?
Yeah. And no, I wasn't. There was other ages there. I was 12 when I was in it.
And what was the slogan of the chocolate? Can you remember?
Mmm, this is lush.
This is ridiculous.
This game is never going to work.
Okay, enough questions, Your Honour. I'm saying that's not true. Chris?
You'd have believed it more if I said I was the Milky Bar kid, wouldn't you?
No. Chris?
Not true.
Not true.
There we are.
Oh, wow.
If you said not true, give yourself 10 Scott Mills points.
Oh.
Let's hand over another piece of paper to Becky with another story on. Is she blagging it or did this actually happen? Open the bit of paper.
I don't know how much detail you're going to want on this one.
Hmm.
You ready?
Yeah.
Ready.
People have been waiting for years for this. I boffed Kesha.
Okay, where was this?
Not at Radio 1, but near Radio 1.
Okay, was it a hotel or a bar?
Hotel.
And where had you been that night then? How did it come to that situation?
No, we went straight there from here.
So you met her here and went straight?
Yeah. She doesn't mess around, does she?
No.
And when you say boff, what's that mean?
Had relations.
What were you...
careful now.
Yes. Who made the first move then?
She did.
And you just obliged?
Yeah.
And who suggested the hotel?
She did.
Who paid for the hotel?
She did.
Was it good?
Did you...
I'd rather not
did
say.
Did you have food before?
Of course.
And after?
Not garlic. Yes.
Did she have a cigarette afterwards?
No.
Describe the hotel room. Was it a nice suite or...?
It was quite generic. It had a TV, air conditioning...
Tea and coffee making
bed,
facilities.
Yeah, a couple of those biscuits.
Was it a mini kettle?
Yep.
Was there a trouser press?
No.
Right, this is ridiculous. Of course you buff Kesha. I'm saying no real.
No real. Not definitely not. Not because
say.
I know anything more than that.
Do I have to say?
No, sorry, I don't want to put myself in the frame here.
But you do have to say, that's the name of the game.
What if I'd rather not say?
Well, no, you have to.
Okay, not real.
Right, there we are. The next one. God, you're good at this.
Well, I failed twice so far.
Is this real or not? Go.
I was once arrested for shoplifting a hammock.
Where were you?
Home base.
I knew you were going to say home base. And which branch of home base?
Somerset.
When you say you
do you want me to be more specific?
Yeah.
Taunton.
When you say you were arrested,
yeah.
Were charges made? Like, were charges dropped? Or
I was released without charge.
Were you wrongfully accused?
Yes.
That's what they all say.
I paid for it. I just hadn't put it in a bag.
Oh, okay. So you just walked out.
Yeah. Well, I paid for it. And then I didn't put it in a bag, so they thought I'd just taken it.
And who stopped you?
The security man.
Did he come out and...
So how did you get arrested for it from there?
Because I forgot to say that I hadn't stolen it.
So the security man ran after you?
Yes. And he said, you've stolen this. So I just went... Because I wanted to see what the back of the store was like.
No, not real.
You know on those programmes where they take them into the back office and make them sit there for ages until the police turn up?
Yeah.
I wanted to see what that was like.
Not real.
Do you know what? I'm not so sure.
Not real.
Real.
Not real.
There we are.
Right. That game is a lot harder than you think.
It is hard. Right, are we done with that? I think so. So none of those were actually real.
No.
Okay, next, let's play Real or No Real. More facts, but are they actually fiction?
Oh, what's occurring?
If you were listening earlier, you'll know that the supposed winner of Finnish Pop Idol texted into Radio 1 because he was playing darts in a pub right near Radio 1 and wanted Chris specifically to come down.
It's weird, that, isn't it?
And collect a CD from him.
I still think you should have gone.
He didn't because we were a bit busy. But the winner of Finnish Pop Idol has popped into Radio 1 and handed us his CD.
Oh, wow.
So thanks for that, Coop. It's actually him. Thank you.
What's the name of that CD?
Well, I don't think they're suitable for daytime programming because they appear to be called Flute of Shame.
Is that a...
I think that's one. So I'm not going to play it at the moment, or probably ever.
I'd be wary of that.
I might play it in the comfort of my own home.
Yeah.
What, the, you're going to play the flute of shame in your
comfort. Yes, I am.
Is that how the bed broke?
But thanks. Thanks, Coop. I'm ignoring you. And now it's real or no real. It's time for some facts. But are they? Are they real ones? Or we just made them up for fun? Are you ruddo? Here's your first one today. 10 points for everyone you guess correctly whether it's real or not.
In French, candy floss is called barba papa, which literally means daddy's beard.
Yes.
Daddy's beard.
Real.
You're saying real?
I don't think it is, because candy floss is always pink, isn't it? And there's nothing sort of daddy about that.
No, it means like the fluff. It's not saying you have a pink beard.
No, real. Not real.
Oui or no?
No.
What?
Well, who'd have thunk it? Yes. That one is real.
You've still got him only saying that?
Who'd have thunk it?
Yeah.
I thought after you said yesterday, you'd have got a new one made up.
Well, you would have thunk that, but we haven't. And next.
A brand named Shreddies produces underwear that can filter out the smell of flatulence.
Shreddies.
I didn't know this kind of science existed.
Yeah. That German could have done with that in the map room.
Knitted by Nance. I'd quite like it when they weren't making cereal. They were just knitting fart pants.
Yeah.
I'm going to say no.
I don't believe that science exists. I'm going to say no.
Well, who'd have thunk it? That one is real.
It's true.
That's true. You can get them. They're called Shreddies.
That's your Christmas present sorted.
Thank you. What are you saying about me? I never fart. And next. Go!
In Adelaide, there is an annual competition to find Australia's loudest cat.
That sounds like it might be true.
Yeah, it is Australia.
A great TV show, potentially, as well.
Have you been to Adelaide?
No. What are you doing that face for? Do you not like it there?
I don't know.
Have you been?
I think my uncle lives
there. It's meant to be gorgeous.
Yeah, it's supposed to be beautiful, but not much happens. So,
the one that doesn't speak's been there. Did you have a lovely time?
Did you enjoy it?
Thumbs up, thumbs down.
Yeah, you see, that was the same reaction as my uncle.
It's boring.
Quite boring.
Is it a bit like Canberra, where there's not much there?
Absolutely that. But do they have a loudest cat competition?
Yes, to brighten things up.
I think yes as well.
No, sadly, that is a no real.
Well, do you know what, Adelaide? You're missing a trick, because actually you could brighten things up around here.
No wonder Barry Morgan left.
Sorry to people that listen to our podcast. I imagine a few of them are from Adelaide. They'll be on Dear Scott next week. At the end of that round...
I got 10.
And that's it?
Is that it?
All right.
Rubbish.
So we're back live on Radio 1 tomorrow, if you can catch us, between 1 and 4, including Innuendo Bingo at 1:45. Or if you can't listen live, then get this free download tomorrow. Look up the Scott Mills Daily. Scott.